Are you ready to break the silence and embrace the transformative journey of perimenopause? Well, you're in the right place. We are Natalie and Lisa, your hosts, and this is the podcast that's rewriting the script on perimenopause.
Join us in embracing the strength within, awakening dormant power, and closing the knowledge gap. We're here to inspire great health and ensure every woman is seen and heard.
Get ready for expert insights, relatable stories, and a community that gets it. Unleash your perimenopause power. It's time to own your story. Well, hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of Perimenopause Power. Hello, Lisa. This never gets old, I have to say.
No, never gets old, and another exciting podcast ahead of us. Who have we got on today, Nat?
Well, it's very exciting because we have two guests. So there's actually four of us online today having a great conversation. And let me introduce you to Kate Bora and Fiona Pearman, who are co-founders of Quantum Impact Group and co-authors of the book Core Confidence. Quantum Impact Group exists to amplify women's authentic power, increase the pipeline of female talent, and create inclusive workplaces where everyone thrives. Working with organizations, they facilitate roundtables, webinars, and workshops focusing on women in leadership, including their public program, Acts of Confidence. All their work focuses on supporting participants to own their value, speak their truth, and lead with authenticity and confidence. And just reading that through, I know we are going to have a wonderful conversation. So welcome Kate and Fiona to our podcast.
Thanks for having us, Natalie and Lisa. Very excited to dive into this topic and to link it to the work you do.
Yes, thank you so much. And like we do with all of our guests, we usually get a bit of an understanding around who our guests are. And for both of you in particular, we'd love to learn about how you became the game changers and thought leaders in your work today.
I'll kick off if you like. My background is very much a corporate career, sales, marketing, brand strategy for large corporates. So I was sitting at those tables, often the only woman and a young woman at that. And even though sometimes you felt welcomed in, there were definitely times when it would be feel like you weren't necessarily on the same page, or you didn't have the same power as other people in the room, or that was maybe a self-perception, but understanding that confidence was something that was sometimes present and sometimes wasn't in my own career. And then working a lot in culture and leadership for a number of years. And often when we were working with women, this topic of confidence would come up. Often this issue around confidence seemed to be sitting there, even though we might talk about it in terms of, I can't have the conversations I need to have, or I can't delegate the way I'd like to, or there are lots of different manifestations, but underneath it, there was often this piece about confidence.
Yeah, thanks, Natalie, Lisa, lovely to be here. I think for me, my background is as a chartered accountant, and as I was heading towards my late 20s and climbing sort of the career ladder at the same point in time, a couple of things happened. I was challenged, I guess, by finding purpose and meaning in the workplace. And so that was a whole conversation. A lot of this really became evident sort of in the last 10 years in the work we've been doing with women in leadership. But equally what was going on for me is what I thought about: how do I achieve success? How do I achieve confidence? My strategies were very much around work hard, know your stuff. And when I looked at becoming even more senior, when I looked at another 10 years and climbing the ladder even higher, I was really concerned about my well-being. I had glandular fever in my 20s. I was nervous around burnout, and I was nervous about the compromises I was going to have to make in my personal life in order to achieve the goals that I'd set for myself professionally as well. And so that really kind of opened up a door of personal development that took me down the pathway of looking at, well, how do I find meaning professionally? And it was really doing work in the freelance space, leadership development work, and working with young women, talking about how they approach their careers, that, we saw a very big distinction between how younger men would talk about their careers and have performance conversations, and how their equivalent female peers would talk about their careers and have career conversations as well. And so this issue around confidence started to become evident with them But it was absolutely an echo of my own professional story as well.
Such powerful stories from both of you. And again, just synonymous with us women in having our own personal experiences and then wanting to go and change the world for us, but then also being driven to try and change the world around us as well. And we come across so many women in business who have similar stories and just want to make the world a better place for not just ourselves, but the women coming behind us as well, the generations to come. Fiona, through your story, it took me back to my experience in manufacturing. So that was my background, very male-dominated industry. And I returned back to work post maternity leave, and my manager at the time, we were talking about the contract. I had quite a big national contract with a client, and he said, you know, in 6 years time when that contract's up, you make sure that you remember this, this and this. And I sort of looked at him, he's like, because you'll still be here doing this. And I thought, no, I am not. And you've just highlighted the real disconnect between what I want and where you see me going.
Yeah, and I think that's unfortunately still playing out for some women in some organisations, where once we choose to have children, we're sort of veered off onto a sort of a sideline, or you know, what's sometimes called the mummy track. So, and that's not to say that that's not suitable for some people, but for a lot of women we speak to, it feels as though there's little choice or no choice around that.
Yeah, so true. And you both might have touched on this in your introduction to yourselves and your work, but can you give us some context behind your book? I've read your book and I love it. But what really drove you and your passion behind writing this book?
Yeah, I think when we started working with women around helping them get clear about what they want professionally, and you know, typically the areas of focus were career planning, building network, brand profile. So what we call today very much tactical leadership pieces. We would be working on plans and, okay, here's my career goal and here's who I need to build network and profile with. And then we would look at them moving them into implementation. So, okay, what's the steps you need to take? And every time we would start to either talk about action planning, or we check in and say, how have you gone with, you know, putting that application in or reaching out to that stakeholder to start to build relationship, we would come up against roadblocks. There'd be reasons, there'd be stories around why they hadn't taken action. And so what we found was all roads led back to confidence, whether it was around not feeling ready yet to put my hat in the ring for a promotion opportunity, not feeling like I had earned the pay rise that I wanted to negotiate, or worrying about what people would think of me about reaching out and trying to arrange a time to connect and build a relationship with a stakeholder. So this roadblock of confidence just kept coming up for us. And when we went and did some research through other literature and writings in the field, doing workshops with women, actually starting to dig into, well, what is this confidence anyway? What does it mean to you? How is it playing out for you in terms of impacting, you know, what you're achieving in career and life, and also through individual coaching? What we found is there, firstly, there wasn't a good definition for it, but more importantly, a lot of the books talked about the common repeated challenges. And how, you know, even Michelle Obama, even all of, you know, accomplished, high-profile politicians, sports people, business people, entrepreneurs who had, you know, built businesses and sold out for billions, still had this confidence challenge, whether it was articulated as imposter syndrome, inner critic, self-doubt, it was still coming up. And so core confidence was really designed to create and how to. So how do you stay connected to your core confidence? And through the writing of the book, apart from being really focused on strategies, what we found is that most of us are already connected to what we call your core confidence, that really inner deep feeling of confidence. It's just that we have sabotage strategies where we give our confidence away. For example, we walk into a room, there's a stakeholder there we weren't expecting to be there, and all of a sudden our confidence goes from, you know, high to low. Or we get asked a question that we can't answer. And before that, we're feeling great and really confident about our delivery. And all of a sudden now we're questioning whether we have expertise or whether we should even be in the conversation as well.
I think the only thing I'd add to that is that as we were exploring this and looking at the research and understanding what was going on, both Kate and I are trained systemic practitioners. So we were interested in the broader context as well. So we started to see that while this was showing up very much individually for women, there were layers to this conversation. And a lot of this issue of confidence, this issue of, you know, how do I appreciate and own my value in every situation, was really stemming back to stuff that had happened in childhood, early in career, that sort of thing. And that was a lot to do with conditioning and kind of societal values and the ways we raise boys and girls. So we realized there was a lot of factors at play, and we could see that there was a very practical way that we could support women, because we'd been there ourselves and we'd been doing these workshops, and we knew that there were particular interventions, tools, mindset work that could shift the dial on people's sense of confidence and that connection to core confidence.
I'm listening to everything you said. It's so intriguing that confidence really does cast a very big wide net, doesn't it, in relation to women's lives? And a lot of the things that you've spoken about really resonated with me. And you mentioned some challenges. What are some common challenges that you're seeing that women are facing regarding confidence?
Yeah, I think, you know, Lisa and Natalie, when we've looked at this, we always start at the point of it is really normal that you feel this way. It is really normal that you maybe aren't as confident as you'd like to be, that your confidence can disappear in a split second. And that's actually very reassuring for people. They sort of can almost breathe out and go, oh, wow, I didn't realize this was so prevalent. And I think the reason for that is because of so much of that conditioning. So a lot of us were raised by getting good marks, doing really well, you know, always achieving things, being quiet, you know, toeing the line, following the rules. All of that conditioning might have made us nice, good yes girls at the start. But when we get into a corporate environment where we need to be bolder, where we need to be able to speak up, where we need to be able to risk a little bit of failure, all of that conditioning actually undermines our presence, the way in which we engage with others. And so there's quite a lot to unlearn there that was laid down early in our life. I think the other things that we see around confidence, very much self-doubt is huge. This sort of disconnect between being able to believe in myself, being able to own my value and speak up, is such a powerful thing that we've tested ourselves. We've run, we have a 10-day confidence challenge that we run online, and over 1,000 women have been through that. And 80% of them identify self-belief as being the big hurdle, the big barrier that they face when it comes to confidence. I think another word that gets used a lot, or another term that sits in this space, and we're actually speaking about this at a conference this week, is imposter syndrome. And that's a huge one. And, you know, we know that despite great accomplishments, being talented, all having it, having all the knowledge, having the expertise, women will often either be asked to take a role or asked to do something, and they'll internally go, oh, no, I can't do that, or I don't know, or what if I'm found out, or all of these things will come up. And I think that that's enormously frustrating to me as an observer of some of these women. But I think, you know, we're all missing out, the women themselves, their teams and our organisations, because we're so worried about, you know, what other people would perceive, and we're so debilitated by our own self-doubt. Kate, what would you add?
Yeah, I think what's important is, how does this translate into outcomes in life? Mm. So, you know, self-doubt means that I am not putting myself forward for pay rises or promotion opportunities, that I am waiting longer. Maybe I'm waiting to be recognized by my boss. And loyalty is a fantastic thing, and often not recognized and appreciated in organizations as well. So it's really this piece around, what are we not doing, and what do we need to start doing in terms of behaviors? It's things like saying no. You know, so many women say yes, either yes because they feel like they need to prove their value, yes because they feel the consequences of saying no are too significant, whether that's personal or professional. And so a big part of our work is helping women being able to get clear about who they are, what they want, where they want to go, get clear about what the expectations are on themselves, because so often we overstate and set too higher expectations. And we hear this from a lot of our return to work mums who say, you know, in that initial period of going back to the workforce, you know, it's really challenging and I needed to learn to be kinder to myself in terms of how I navigate both things at home and things in the workplace as well. And even how it translates to our willingness to step out, build relationships with potential advocate sponsors, stakeholders in the workplace, our willingness to ask for help so we can fast track through and deliver better results in quicker time as well. So I think this piece around for many, confidence is a barometer around I wait to feel confident before I take action. And for us, one of the philosophies of the book is the act of confidence comes before the feeling of confidence. So it's actually in the action taking that we get feedback. And then that feedback comes through data points. It says that was a good thing to do, or gosh, that wasn't such a good thing to do. Don't do that again. Either way, on the other side of action, we've got more certainty around what to do next.
God, I love that bit around action, because that is, I can so resonate with that. And then I think that, and you touch on it, whether we get good or not so great feedback, then it's being able, the not great, so great feedback, it's irrelevant. The relevance to me is then, okay, how do I learn from that? Don't see that in such a negative way, but I see a lot of women do the, you know, take the negativity message, and then they don't move on from there. So it's a little bit sad as well.
We see that far too much, and it's really disheartening.
I think too, and I, you know, I'm going to say that we're all very much aligned in our work and passion and drive as well. And I think you can see the potential in others. And I think personally, you know, we've taken paths that are possibly, you know, less traveled than others because we've been driven by our own personal experience and ambitious around a certain topic. And so you know what's possible, and then you work individually with women or in a group context, and you just know the potential that is there for everybody for the taking. And you can't help but feel disappointed that people feel that way or lacking that confidence, and you just feel so driven to want to support and change their thinking. I'm reading Brendan Burchard's book, The Motivation Manifesto, which I'm loving, and I love, and I put this as a LinkedIn post the other day, either freedom wins or fear wins, and we get to choose which path we take. And of course, I'm definitely not taken away from the challenge and the conditioning that we've got and how it's not something that's just an easy fix. But when you look at such simple wording such as that, it's a bit like fear wins or love wins, you know, that the universe is either guided by fear or it's guided by love. We all get to choose what that looks like and what path we take. And, you know, I love what you said, Kate, too, that it's through that learning. It's the action. You know, we can't learn and grow without taking action. And, you know, I've removed the word failure out of my vocabulary because it's all just learnings. It's all just lessons. And sort of at the end of the day, sometimes for me, I think, what is there to lose? You know, it might just be some time. It might be some money, but I'm going to be so much further along the path if I just take that one step forward. But yeah, it's a challenge, of course, definitely not taken away from that too. And what's interesting as we talk about confidence in the context of life, and you touched on mothers returning to work and the loss of confidence there, and then fast forward to perimenopause and menopause, where all of a sudden women who have been thriving in confidence and have never had an issue with confidence before, finding themselves that they've lost that confidence. There's that loss of self. They start to really doubt their ability to communicate. You forget people's names. You forget what you're presenting. How has menopause shown up in the work that you're doing with your community and clientele?
Yeah, I'll start this one if you like. As a woman who has, you know, pretty much, I think, on the other side now, I would say I am through menopause, or, you know, I'm post-menopause maybe is the term, but certainly have navigated the perimenopause and menopause situation. And look, I think this can be very undermining for women, particularly as you say that they have been used to themselves in a certain context in a certain way and used to their capabilities and capacity. And suddenly that becomes a bit wobbly and I can't quite rely on my physical self in the way that I have previously, or, you know, you mentioned so that cognitive stuff as well. We hear this repeatedly, and it is something that women in this phase of life bring up. And I think the first thing that we talk about here is we really want to normalize that it's you're not alone in this. You know, it's a relief to realize, oh, I thought it was just me. I thought I was the one struggling with this. But as soon as we start to educate not just the women themselves, but their co-workers and people around them, it really, I think it really opens up a dialogue of like, oh, okay, that's what's going on. Oh, this is occurring. And we've actually seen, we've heard examples in organizations where they've run programs to educate leaders of quite young male leaders, you know, who are managing, say, you know, women in, you know, at that stage of life, go, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I see why this is happening. Now I've got that piece of intelligence. I can understand, oh, they need to work from home for these reasons, or they need these supports, or they need these things. And I think even just being in the conversation is a healthy piece, because what we want for women at this stage is not to feel that this is going to be a roadblock or insurmountable, that it is a phase, it is a time, and there are going to be challenges. And certainly, I mean, you the work you do, you're very much in this all the time. And you would see that for the women themselves, we're often coaching them around, you know, what you bring to the table, all of the great stuff you are and have been hasn't gone. Like, yes, you've got these things that are going on, but your accomplishments, your experience, who you are in the world, your knowledge, I mean, that is invaluable, and that is available to you still. It may need to be done in a slightly different way. You may need some support, you may need things, but it's certainly there. And I think, you know, again, from a coaching perspective, one of the things we talk about, you know, this can be for all life phases, but it's probably really important here, is to get good at managing the expectations you have of yourself, because we can be very hard on ourselves. And when we're used to being one thing and used to doing things a certain way, to have to now reorient and go, well, actually, I can't do that in that same way, or I can't go and present at a meeting, or I'm going to, the hot flushes are happening, or, you know, what, you know, or I'm going to have that, you know, mental where something just drops out, as that wonderful woman did on that morning show not that long ago, and then just named it. Again, it's that willingness to start to normalize and sort of speak into it and not be hard on ourselves. One of the fundamentals of the work Kate and I do is we always ask our community and our participants to treat themselves with kindness and compassion. We are so quick to beat ourselves up. We are so quick to be harsh on ourselves. And if we can just soften that and we can be kind to ourselves the way we would to a good friend, that often, again, you know, I'm going through this phase. This is normal. It's happening to me, and I can still bring stuff. I've still got lots to offer, and it may look a little bit different, I think, is one of the things. I think in terms of some of the things people can do, we're definitely interested in, you know, this is our work, right, to get support and get help. One of our acts of confidence in our program is to ask for help, to understand that you will need to be resourced and supported through a major transition like this. And this is very much the work you do. And I know you've got some amazing resources and supports that you do in this space. Our work is very much around mindset. How do we help you reconnect to that core, that essence that you've got that maybe feels tenuous during the stage, and so that you feel resourced to navigate this part of your life. Okay, is there anything you want to add in there?
Yeah, I think talk about it. Watch, you know, I'm at the beginning of this journey, so those things falling out of my brain are some of, I guess, the things that are happening. And because I've got a good network around and I've been part of these conversations now for a little while, I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe they're linked. So I think talking about it with others, it's still far too much of a taboo topic in all circles, in the workplace, in social circles as well. And so our ability to start to talk about it, normalizes it, makes us all feel like, you know, this is just something we go through. I think for me, one of the things that's really important and the challenges is there's a lot of confusions. There's a lot going on and I'm uncertain around what's happening to my body, my brain, and therefore what does that mean I can do? So what certainty do I have personally and professionally? So I think that piece around getting help to be able to get clear, to be able to identify what is going on with my body, how much is this linked to this stage of life? How much is this linked to circumstances or things I'm experiencing in work, and therefore I'm under, you know, some stress at work is impacting, you know, my body and my emotional state and my mental state? I think it can all collide in one big confusing mess. And so your ability to be able to go, okay, what is it? Get some information. We know that clarity creates certainty. Certainty creates confidence. And then that gives us more confidence to be able to move forward. It doesn't mean that we're always going to move forward in an easy way where it's flowful, but at least we can manage the expectations of what we're going to experience.
I'm sitting here nodding my head profusely, and I feel like saying, everyone, can you just stop there on the podcast, go back to the start of where Fiona was talking about that, and then listen to what Fiona and Kate have said, because you've touched on so many things that so many women that we work with and workplaces bring up as issues. And some of the things you mentioned that, you know, so on point with us, education, talk about it. You know, often workplaces will say to us, well, how do we bring it into, you know, how do we start? It's like, you've just got to start the conversation. You just got to start. And that's in a group situation, one-on-one. You know, listeners will hear, they've heard me say that I've been in conversations with my girlfriends even, and they've whispered the word menopause, and I'll go, why are you whispering? Like, you know, so it's just you both said it, it's a totally normal part of life. But there is a collision of life that's going on. You know, your body's changing. It's a very busy time for these women. And I know myself that my confidence took a really big battering, especially through COVID and lockdown and things like that. It just collided with the same time. But that's sort of what, you know, a bit of a line in the sand for me. And that importance around getting help, asking for help, and looking at the circumstances are really so bang on. So I really appreciate you both actually bringing that to the forefront and reminding our listeners that it's a very normal time. There's lots of changes going on, and just move through it and get that clarity and that confidence going. And I will say that through my own work, I've got my confidence back 10 times over in relation to the work that I do. And it's just a little bit of a troublesome patch, but the strength is in actually looking at it head on and understanding what you need to do and what are the bits and pieces that you need support with.
Yeah, we'll just add, Lisa, I think the piece around just because you're comfortable doesn't mean other people will be comfortable, right? Yes. And so that's why I say the only way other people are going to get comfortable is if you're modeling, you're comfortable, I'm okay to talk about it, let's talk about it. Yeah. Having the expectation that they're going to be comfortable. I was on a call recently, we just spoke at a conference. And, you know, there were perspectives that we shouldn't bring this up in the room, and that and a valid perspective by one person is, well, I wouldn't want to talk about it with people at my table around this. I think we want to include all those perspectives. That's okay. And if we think about how do we change the dial, you know, we all have to go first. If we're going to challenge the status quo, then just lean into it. If you lean into a conversation comfortable, like you're talking about the weather, then others are more likely to meet you there and follow. And it's only when we all start doing this that we'll start to normalize these conversations across all various platforms.
Mm. You make a really good point, because Nat and I will do workshops, and at the start of many of our workshops, you know, we'll ask the question, what comes to mind when you think of the word menopause? And you might get a few people bring some, I will say, actually, that's been a lot more, you know, there's been a lot more answers to that these days when we ask the question than, say, you know, 2.5 years ago when we were first asking the question. But generally you'll find there's just a few questions or a few answers back. But by the time we've asked more questions through the workshop, you can see people are becoming more comfortable about actually offering an answer, because other people around them are doing the same. So it gives them that confidence or that safety, I suppose, in actually sharing. So yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah, and that's the only way we can get to normalize these conversations is if we're willing to start to explore and talk about it and just bring it up. And yeah, we don't have to force. I think it's really important that we give people space and time. But our experience is the more we get things on the table, whatever the topic is that is being avoided, the more likely other people are to join in once you have made it safe enough, to your point.
That's absolutely, and we often talk about when we're in a workplace, it's about building the literacy, building the menopause literacy. And I could probably put in there building the confidence literacy as well, because I feel that there's a bit of stigma around this word confidence sometimes too. And you know, it's giving the information and creating that safe environment that, of course, this is a very personal, intimate life transition that a woman is going through, and it is completely up to her whether she wants to share and talk about it. But just knowing that you are being seen and heard in a, you know, even if it's in a group context, what an amazing feeling to have that there's that safety that, you know what, if the time is right for me to share it, I feel like I've got that psychological safety and I've got that confidence now to open up about it. I'd love, just as a, we are starting to wrap up our conversation, but I would love, just coming back to confidence as being a bit of a stigmatized topic, have you seen that, and how have you worked through that through your work and trying to get women and workplaces along for the journey as well?
Yeah, I think with confidence, there's often a view that you either have it or you don't have it. And so what we know is it can be context dependent. If you are in the same role doing the same thing with the same people in the same industry for 3 or 4 years, you're likely to have confidence. But what you really have is certainty, right? Certainty of the people I'm working with, certainty of the process, certainty of what to do if things go wrong. And so when we are stepping up, stepping into new environments, new roles, building new skill, capability, experience, there will be uncertainty. And so when uncertainty is present, there will be self-doubt. And that's when often our confidence comes down. So I think the key piece is confidence isn't something you have or don't have. It's something that we can stay connected with. It's a skill we can build. It's a resource we can access. And so what we know from our work is it's always in us. It's that we have self-sabotage strategies where we give our confidence away. And so it's our ability to recognize that as I come up to a scenario where maybe I'm not as confident as I'd like, and to recognize why, what's going on for us. And we talk so much, active confidence number one is get clear and make decisions. Our ability to be clear about why I'm not feeling confident, our ability to be clear about maybe what I'm afraid of, and all of these are conversations that, unless we make it explicit, are going on underneath the surface. So our ability to explicitly get clear about and understand what's going on, which is why self-reflection is really important, right? Because once we can see it, we're like, oh, okay, now how do I navigate around it? I think the belief that we're going to meet everything in life and have, you know, this 100, 150% confidence immediately is challenged, because things will change, particularly where we are in the way of work now. But even when we think about going forward, the world is only going to get more uncertain. There's going to be more and more changes and shifts in industries regularly. So this piece around being able to understand where you're at, what you're facing, and then having your toolkit, which is why the book Core Confidence is so powerful. It gives you strategies to be able to connect in with your core confidence when you are faced with some of those roadblocks, when you aren't feeling that you have the confidence to take action, that you're able to look at, okay, what's going on? And sometimes, which is why the work is so powerful, it's not about going and doing, you know, a degree, spending another 10 hours studying a whole bunch of papers to make sure you can answer every question. Very rarely is it about that. Yes, of course, you need to be across your detail. You need to be across your subject matter expertise, but not to the point that you can answer every single question. And so in that scenario, it's actually about reframing the expectation that if I do get asked a question I can't answer, how will I navigate through that? How will I stay connected with my core confidence? Because you know what? The reality is no one expects you to be able to answer every question in the world. And it's okay to be able to say, let me take that question on notice and let me come back to you.
Amen. Can I just say, yes, we agree. Have all the answers all the time. It's okay if we don't have the answers. Sorry, Fiona.
Yeah. No, I think the only piece I'd add there is that, you know, this piece about confidence, you know, having a bit of a stigma in the workplace, maybe it's sort of on the back of there has been, you know, a bit of a push about, you know, stop fixing women and this idea that we should, you know, put the onus on organisations and organisations should change. And that's absolutely true. Kate and I are passionate advocates for changing the system.
here's the thing, systems are incredibly slow to change. And if mm-hmm. we don't resource the women in the system to be able to transcend some of those conditioning, some of that societal expectation, some of those gender norms, all of those sort of things, if we don't resource people, then they're stuck with a system that is really has really undermined a lot of their sense of confidence and self-worth. And that's, I think, for us, a really big piece is, you know, how do we make sure that we do resource women? How do we make sure that they are able to take their rightful place and be really well represented at those senior decision-making tables? Because that's when we will get system change, when we've got more equity right through the system.
Love it. Love everything that you share, and completely spot on. Now, finally, for our final question, so we ask this question of all of our guests. Now, this podcast is about power and finding, nurturing, and using our personal power as we transition through life phases, in this case, perimenopause and beyond. We'd love to know from both of you, how have you come into your own power?
Well, I think really doing this work actually has been so incredibly illuminating and grounding around how do you access and stay with what we know, we call it core confidence, and it is this authentic power that resides within me. That means that no matter what happens externally, I know and I'm absolutely rock solid that I'll be okay, that my identity and my worth won't be undermined by anything that goes on externally to me. Now, that takes a long time and it takes practice, and it's something that you build, and it doesn't mean that it never gets wavered or challenged or that sort of thing. There are moments and times for all of us where there are things that go on, but being able, having connected with that, having navigated situations that have felt really difficult, I think that's what I want really for all people, but particularly for women, to have that really strong connection to something within them that means, I know I'm going to be okay. I know I've got this no matter what.
Yeah, and I think this builds on what Fiona's sharing is, you know, really becoming your own best coach. You know, it'd be lovely if we could all pay to meet with therapists and coaches every week to help kind of unpack what's going in our head and who has the time and, quite frankly, the financial resources. So our work, but, you know, it follows our own experience of, you know, building the skills to be able to have the awareness around what's going on. The awareness allows us to challenge some of those expectations and right-size them in the moment. And importantly, to be able to go look for resources or to coach myself through to say, hey, Kate, you're not resourced to be able to make a decision or respond right now. How about you check out for 24 hours and come back and then figure out what you're going to do or have the conversation there. And so we talk a lot about being your own best coach. The book is designed around that, so that as you're in our world, whether it's reading the book or joining us on the Acts of Confidence program, that you're building this capability to be able to support yourself, to be able to be aware of what's going on for you, and then be able to coach yourself through the challenges that will inevitably come up in career and life. And so I think for me, that gives me freedom. You talked about, that earlier. On the other side of this, and on the other side of redefining your relationship with fear and failure, and that's, you know, act of confidence number 5 is fall down and get back up again. We really dig into the relationship with fear, because on the other side of fear for me is freedom. And that gives you the freedom to be able to be gentle on yourself, but also to be able to have the freedom to go and ask for help and access resources that will help you achieve everything that you want in career and life.
Lise, did you have anything?
I'm just reflecting on everything you said, and I feel like this whole conversation has allowed women to just be, like, you know, just actually understand that there's going to be peaks and troughs, and you probably need to lean into that as well as nurturing that confidence. You know, it goes up and down. So, and no matter what life stage you're at or where you find yourself in your career, it's just something that it's a constant work in progress, isn't it? And just being really true to yourself as to where you find yourself at that point.
Yeah, there's no finite finish line, is there?
No, this isn't ongoing. It's lifelong work, really. I think, yeah. You know, what Kate was just sharing there is the more that you have done the self-awareness, the self-reflection, the more you know yourself, the more you have clarity about who and what you are, the easier it is to access those resources in the moment to be able to stay in your power no matter what's happening externally. And I think those are the things that we see. That's the transformation that we see with so many of our clients and what the feedback to us is, which is really exciting because it means there's another generation of women who are having a very different experience, feeling quite different about the way they interact with the workforce.
Beautifully said. I often talk about emotional intelligence and self-awareness as being our superpower. And it truly is because, as you say, once you know yourself, you just have such a deeper understanding around what you want from life, what it is that you're prepared to do or not do, what you accept, and also help you transition through life phases as well and give yourself permission and self-love and compassion, you know, particularly when you need it at those times of struggle. Because Lisa and I were talking about it earlier that there is always an element of struggle in our life, whether it is something like menopause or other life phases or just the most minute type of struggle, there's always an element of struggle, and it's building that internal toolkit, as you say. What a wonderful conversation. Such a great insight into confidence, and I'm sure our listeners have taken a lot from this conversation. And even if it's just around the word confidence and instilling that sense that confidence is something that we can build and we can nurture and we can all tap into that to support our best life and a thriving life at that. Where can our listeners connect with you both and learn more about you and also purchase your wonderful book?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Natalie. Head over to our website, coreconfidence.com.au. Lots of resources over there. You can access the book there in hard copy on Audible as well as on an e-reader. We go live in our Facebook page every week. So there's a ton of videos and content you can dig into there. Just look for Core Confidence Book. And if Instagram is your social media platform of choice, just look for Your Core Confidence and you can follow us there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you both so much.
Thanks for tuning in to Perimenopause Power. If you found today's episode empowering, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Your journey through perimenopause just got a whole lot brighter.
And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review. Your feedback helps us empower even more women on this transformative journey. Until next time, keep embracing your perimenopause power.